We've been breaking down so much hockey this morning, and we will continue to do so over the course of the rest of the show, obviously. But there are a couple of huge things going on outside of the world of hockey that we want to make sure everybody stays informed on. Obviously, the NBA draft, which you can hear on these very airwaves tonight, which we'll get into with this next guest in just a minute. And also, we just talked about quarterback contracts, which raises a great conversation, too, as he's in Indianapolis. And obviously, Andrew Luck's got a big one of those. So to help us break down all things from that perspective, Michael Grady from 107 The Fan in Indianapolis. Michael, man, we appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, no problem at all. Good to be on.
So let me start. We'll get to the NBA in just a second, but with you being in Indy, we were just talking about contract values. Derek Carr is about to sign a mega contract. Marcus Mariota is going to be in that situation soon. When you look at the value of a quarterback, what do you think that number is in the next couple of years?
That'll be interesting to see it grow, but we know that everything is about, you know, the quarterback. I think the days of seeing a game manager win a Super Bowl is over. So, you know, sorry Trent Dilfer and sorry Brad Johnson, but your Eli Mannings, your Tom Brady, your Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan was a half away from winning the Super Bowl. These are the guys that are getting you to the big game. And so that's why there's such a high value on it. And not only that, you're going to overpay because of how important the quarterback is. And so a lot of quarterbacks in the league we look at is, man, this guy's making way too much money. Should Derek Carr be getting more money than Andrew Luck? Should Luck be getting more money than this guy? No, when that contract is up, it's your turn. And teams are typically going to overpay because the value of the because the importance of a quarterback is so significant.
Michael, what did Andrew Luck have for breakfast this morning, and how does that impact his readiness for the season?
That's a good question, but his number is 317. No, he's on the sidelines waiting to be able to throw. He hasn't thrown a football since January, and so there's a lot of Colts fans on pins and needles hoping that he's going to be ready for training camp, which isn't a guarantee.
Let me ask you then, let's switch gears because the big stuff tonight is the NBA draft. Is Paul George single-handedly going to make the NBA implode tonight with all of the trade talk?
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Kevin Pritchard, the team president of the Pacers, is going to try to wait and see what the best offer is. He doesn't want to wait until after the draft to make a move. He wants to do it tonight. And so his hope is that there's enough big-time rumors swirling around that Magic Johnson will get nervous and then give up that number two pick to Indiana in order to acquire Paul George right now. The smart thing for L.A. to do, especially if they're confident that Paul is going to sign with them next year, it's just to wait till next year. You don't have to give up any assets. You can pick, you know, use that number two pick, use your other draft picks, make your moves that you need necessary, and then have him sign next year. But if they believe that Paul George, if he goes to a contender and enjoys his time there, while the Lakers look like a mess this season, there's a chance Paul could say, you know what, I kind of like the situation. I'm competing for a championship. I'll stay here long term. Magic could get nervous about that scenario and then give up that number two pick because that's what the Pacers are waiting on.
You look at the NBA, and I realize we all love basketball, and it's a great sport and all this stuff, but the regular season and the postseason and even the championship series, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of drama. And they've certainly figured out the offseason to create drama. What is it about this league that we're so infatuated with, despite the lack of actual exciting, dramatic products on the court?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, interesting. You know, every offseason has its intrigue, you know, regardless of sport. But we've really seen it grow in the NBA because it's more of an arms race now. The fact that we're seeing these super teams and what's going to happen to, you know, during the NBA Finals and watching – Cleveland basically just get dominated by the Golden State Warriors for the most part. The one thing that I was thinking while marveling, you know, being impressed with how well the Golden State Warriors were playing was if the Cavaliers get swept or if they get beaten five, they're going to need to add more talent so that they can beat the Golden State Warriors. But Cleveland is already so tough that they went 12-1 in the Eastern Conference en route to the NBA Finals. So if the Cleveland Cavaliers make a move to get stronger, that's going to make them that much better once again than everyone else in the East, which for me as a basketball fan, I don't think is fun. I don't think it makes the regular season fun. Certainly doesn't make the playoffs fun. the NBA Finals is great, but the NBA is still getting hit in the wallet. Their projected salary cap is not going to be what they were expecting for this upcoming season, and so now it's affecting teams. And part of the reason why was that the playoffs in general went by just like that. And so if you have more competitive playoff games in the early rounds, first round games going six or seven games, second round games going that far, then you see that salary cap number go up. And we just didn't have that this past season. And that was, I think it was bad. I think it was bad for fans. I think it's bad for the game.
We're talking to Michael Grady from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. So you mentioned that it's bad for the league. I mean, if you're a fan of a small market team, if you're a fan of Indiana, where's your hope now? I mean, what's the thing that you cling to for the future?
That's the thing. Right now, there is no future to cling on to. And that's the reality for a lot of NBA teams. It used to be, maybe back in the day, if you were competitive, a little bit mediocre, and you feel like, hey, we're a couple of pieces away, let's just keep doing what we're doing, you may not blow your team up. Nowadays, there's really no point in being mediocre, somewhat competitive, and then getting your butt beat in the early rounds of the playoffs. Like, there's really no enjoyment in that. So I think you're going to see more teams go the route of just blowing up their team. The Knicks are just crazy right now. That's a whole other story. Atlanta has a competitive team, but they're deciding to blow things up and get rid of Dwight Howard. Now that the Pacers are losing Paul George, they're not going to try to add a piece that's similar to Paul George. No, they're going to try to get draft picks, start over, get young, and hopefully have a competitive team in the next 3 to 4 years. And so you're going to see that in the Western Conference as well with the number of teams. There's no point in being average, and fans really can't get behind that. You can sell them on a bright future and just hope that something happens where the Golden State Warriors get dismantled or LeBron James leaves the Eastern Conference. You just have to kind of hope for those things. So the Pacers are going to blow things up, and there's going to be several other teams that are going to do the same thing because there's just a gulf in between. If you're in the Eastern Conference, yourselves and the Cavs, or in the Western Conference, yourselves and the San Antonio Spurs or the Golden State Warriors.
Well, it does feel like LeBron is angling towards L.A. in the very near future. So if that does happen, you've got San Antonio, L.A., and Golden State over there in the West. Who is it, Boston and Philly? Washington? Who is it that's that one piece away from contending in the East?
That'll be interesting to see. I think Boston will definitely be there. The coaching is too good. Danny Ainge has done a terrific job as a team president there. So I do believe they will be in the mix. They're probably going to add Gordon Hayward this offseason, so they're going to be right there. They'll give the Cavaliers a challenge in the postseason next year, so that'll be a team to certainly keep an eye on. We'll see how long the Washington Wizards decide to stay together. The Toronto Raptors, they will see whether or not they are still competitive as a unit. I could see them blowing it up really soon, depending on if they struggle this season. I could see them cleaning house and getting rid of some key guys. We'll see whether or not Kyle Lowry stays there long-term. So the Eastern Conference is kind of a toss-up. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, they are on the rise. But when Giannis's contract is up, is he going to want to stay in that small market or Milwaukee, or is he going to chase a more high-profile situation in a different city? So I think the Bucks are certainly a team to keep an eye on as well.
Michael Grady, fantastic stuff from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Follow him on Twitter, @Grady. Man, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Anytime. Have a good one.